about the trip. First of all, I want to say, John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And people, that's why we go on missions. That's why you participate in missions. It's because Jesus died for every person that's ever been created. You go as a part. When we go, you're part of us. And I just want to say thank you for your prayers. I especially thank our church for donating or choosing to use some of our general funds to support those who needed the financial support for the trip. Because doing it through our church and giving a part of our general funds, every person has a part. It's not just those who maybe helped an individual or gave to the team, but every person has a part when we take money from the general fund and allow it to be used for a mission trip and those that are going. So I especially thank our church. I believe it, for me, that really was an encouragement and something that I really felt thankful for the church doing this year. To my knowledge, that's the first year that I recall us actually taking funds out of the general fund and putting it toward those who were going on a mission trip from our church. So thank you very much for all that you had a part in doing to get us there, and then your prayers and how God worked through us. The theme this year was a service of love. And the way they chose the theme is, as you people in our church know who have been here for several years, many years, September is the month that we have the North Carolina missions offering. That's a state offering. Well, when I got there and I began to ask questions and learn about how they came about choosing this theme, I found out that that's the state theme for the month of July, because that's their missions emphasis month in the state of Minas Gerais. So all over the state, people were using this theme, a service of love, in their emphasis in supporting their local ministry projects and reaching out to the people of their community. So it was a large effort in carrying out this theme this year, not just the Americans who were there partnering with the Brazilians in Belo. This year there were 13 Brazilian churches that participated in what they call crusades, and three mission congregations. And the three mission congregations were the three churches that were partnering with Americans to build them a little chapel. And as the pictures are flashing up there, you're seeing pictures of the building that Chris and Harold and I guess that's only two this year participated in. And of course, TC did, and you'll hear from him later how God allowed him to be a part of it as well. I did home visitation around the community of the congregation there and where the building was being built. And for the first time this year, we had 39 people through home visitations, actually 38 through home visitations, who made a decision to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. The 39th person was actually at the construction site one day. One of the Americans shared his testimony, and a young man from the construction site made that important decision. So, through three construction teams, one medical team, one eye clinic, two VBS teams, a sports team, a drama team, and a street team. 2,546 people made decisions for Christ. So praise the Lord. You had a part in each one of those. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to share one personal experience before I sit down. I don't know if you've been able to see the picture yet or not of the church and the lot on which it was built. If you have, you see that it was a very large drop-off from the street level down to the ground level. In the morning we arrived there, I walked out to the end of that concrete platform that the Brazilians had prepared for us. And I will say this, in a matter of 56 days, this congregation got the permission to purchase the land, finalize the purchase of the land, go down and put a concrete pad at the ground level and build those concrete columns that you see, four of them. Concrete columns were built from the ground up to the street level so that they could pour the concrete pad for the Americans to begin the construction of the chapel. I stepped out at the end of that concrete pad. I don't think I've ever had this feeling before. You see how the hills are behind the location of that building? When I got to the end, I turned to my left and I looked out, and all I saw was this little village full of people. And in the center, you can, if you look straight ahead, you can see another little hill. And then over to the right, another little hill, just full of villages. And you know what God reminded me of? Jesus, when he stood and looked out over Jerusalem, and he wept over the city. People, this emotion just came over me. And I began to weep because I saw all those little huts, little homes out there. And I'm thinking, oh God, you know, there's so many people out there that need to know about Jesus. And what a ministry this church has right here, all around them. And I also thought about Herman and how, you know, I'm not up high enough to where I can see all the homes out here, but they're out there. And we have an opportunity to reach people here at home who need to hear about Jesus, just as that congregation is going to have the opportunity to go out and reach their hillsides all around their church. It was a wonderful week. I enjoyed, as you saw me, I had quite a few visits in the homes, and some of them, of course, just connected with me. One young man is 24 years old. And he's been a drug addict for, I don't know how many years. He didn't say how many years he had been involved, but quite a few years, because he had been involved in a situation where a person died. And I think the person that, the deacon of the church, is the one who made visits with us. And he was a little skeptical that this young man was being genuine in his decision. Felt a connection with that man, and I really felt like that he wanted to get back on the right track, or get on the right track. He probably never had been on the right track, but he wanted to get on the right track, and he wanted to follow Jesus. And he told me his full name, and the middle name was Raymond. I said, oh man, I can connect with that name. That's a name I can remember. So the rest of the week, I called him Raymond, and I saw him several days out on the street. One day he was washing cars and detailing a vehicle that he had cleaned up, and I'm sure it was to, you know, earn a little bit of money. But it's just amazing how God uses you to connect with people that you've had a situation in your life before that you can understand and you can sympathize with them. And of course, I talked with him one-on-one personally, and I was able to share with him that I understood where he was coming from somewhat. and I could relate to his need for Jesus. So God just blessed me in a special way, even though I had to go alone this year. I missed TC, but there were wonderful times. This couple right here was one of our last visits, and they were a very sweet couple. They're not married, but I hope that through hearing the gospel and understanding the word of God, that they will realize they need to get married. So again, praise the Lord for all that was accomplished.
Chris, if you'll go ahead and start coming. I'm not going to take but a minute because I was not able to go. But some of you, you've all seen the pictures. Isn't it amazing what God can do? I mean, you look at, if you've ever dealt with construction, and you look at this building and what they had to start with and the location, and in 6 days, the building was erected, and they had church on Sunday afternoon, dedication Sunday afternoon. Only God can do that. We get to thinking about how important we are sometimes in God's work. God sent me down so he could show me how important he was and what he had in mind and what he had to do. One of the things, a lot of the places I go, I talk about my mission trip with the different people I work for. And I had a lot of people praying for me, and some of those people didn't even know wasn't able to go until I ran into them later. And they asked about my mission trip. But because of pictures, I was able to share with them what God had done without me. And, you know, it is amazing. Chris called not long after he went out to the site. And all of you have been around Chris. Chris may exaggerate just a little bit. But he said, TC, this building's 50 feet off the ground at the back. And I said, yeah, sure. I thought maybe 8-10 feet, you know. But then when I saw the pictures, reality struck. You know, and these people really wanted a church there. They had to go to that depth. But they will be able to build up under this and make several rooms, several different floors. So God is at work.
You know, it's funny he was talking about that when I called him and told him about that, because usually when we get there the first day, the team leaders of the three groups will go look at the different buildings. So we went to the first site, and it was 10, 15 foot off the ground. And I said, well, Steve's got that one. They always give him the tough sites. His floor was still wet. They had poured the concrete that day. You could touch your finger and poke holes in it. This was on Sunday. They was working Monday. Went to the next site. It was level like this floor. I thought, yeah, Vaughn will get that one more than likely. See what we got. So we went to our site, and we're thinking, what happened here? Because that's the biggest, that's the tallest building since I've been going that we've ever dealt with. And I, like I said, I called TC and said, TC, one of the other guys named it the aircraft carrier because it was so high off the ground. But the good part about ours was when you walked in the front door, it was level. So you could get in and out. And you'll see on there, you'll see some guys in yellow shirts. And that was really probably the best part of our trip. Them guys are all in a rehab, and it's a big group. And they come down every day and help build this church. And they had helped last year, too. And just getting to talk with them guys and enjoying them. And then they came and sang at dedication. And that was by the heart. I mean, every one of them guys, when they sang, they was into it. And it's good to see, you know, them stepping up and doing that. We had an awesome team. I'm not going to take a lot of time. We struggled this year not having TC. And really not having Robin. We had a hard time getting coordinated and everybody getting on the same page. I'd call TC in the middle of the day and say, TC, is this supposed to be going this way? He'd say, well, you know, you might want to do this. So I'd take it over to somebody who was working on that and say, here, talk to him. So we used TC a lot during the week. We called him all the time. The church come together. We had, like I said, we struggled with issues, getting stuff done. And luckily, God was looking after us because we went from Saturday dedication to Sunday, because Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock, we had no power. We're supposed to usually dedicate Saturday. Preacher decided Sunday. So it was a good trip. It was a learning trip for us that was used to TC and Robin being there. But God had encouraged the guys there. Those were some awesome fellows. The guy in the middle, he was there one day, and I don't know what it was. He never smiled, and he sat on the sidewalk by himself all day and wouldn't talk to nobody. And I just hugged him hard when we got ready to go. But them guys was awesome to work for. If you had something to do, they stepped in the way and did it. When they come in, if you needed moving, they was there. Our team was our American team. We, most of us, had worked together, had a couple new guys. But overall, it was a trying experience. It was a lot of learning. I mean, like you said, when you had Robin coordinating, and then here we're trying to coordinate all that, it was really a lot of learning to do, especially when nobody could speak English. I mean, Portuguese, and we had one interpreter the whole time. And half of us can't speak English good. And then they want us over trying to coordinate with these Brazilians. But God always has it in control. He took care of us. And then me and Harold got to go see the waterfalls. And y'all think Niagara Falls is something? Niagara Falls ain't got nothing on that place. That's like 280 waterfalls up the walk. And we went that morning, and all you seen was rainbows. So that's all I got to say about it. Like I said, we had a good trip. We missed TC and missed Robin especially. TC, we can get by with him. You know, but we miss Robin and her coordination. And if God's willing, we're ready to go back again next year. But there's our building. And they went down and took a picture. And we guesstimate it's at least 50, 60 foot off the ground. And they built that 1 2-gallon bucket at a time. They don't have concrete trucks. They mix it in the street. And they carry buckets and pour them buckets in there. They pour the slabs and everything that way. So you talk about being lazy people, we call concrete truck. We're done. 56 days, they're waiting on us. Thank y'all.
Good morning. I'm Debbie, and I was on the street team this year with another lady and three American men, and we had a couple of Brazilian interpreters. And we had the pleasure of having, a couple of years ago, we were in Montes Claros, and I probably didn't pronounce that correctly. But while we were there, we had an interpreter, a young girl named Sarah, and we all became very close to her. Her father is actually a pastor. She's an only child. And they traveled all the way from Montes Claros to Belo, took their time off this year, and came and stayed with the street team. So you will see a Brazilian man, probably a picture of him out there preaching, a young girl that is with me a lot. Her name is Sarah. And so that was our street team this year. We were very busy. That's her, as a matter of fact, right there in that picture. We were very busy. We went to a couple of prisons, and both of them were like an hour and a half to 2-hour drive from where our hotel was. And we also went to about 4 brothels. So we would go to the prisons during the daytime, and then we were out at the brothels late at night. And we also went to the plaza. This is out at the plaza a couple of mornings while the people were, you see all the people out there, on their way back and forth to wherever they're going. They're very busy people like we are. So it was a wonderful trip. One of the main verse that came to my mind as I was thinking about giving testimony today is John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is my 14th year to go to Brazil. 14 years ago, my sister Robin said to me, I had a dream that you were going to go to Brazil. Well, 14 years ago, I was completely wrapped up in addiction. And the thought of going to Brazil on a mission trip was way beyond anything I thought was possible. I had a baby. I had 3 other children. And how in the world was I going to get someone to watch my children, help my husband pay the bills, how am I going to go in my addiction? And yet Jesus took care of every step, paid every penny, supplied the people to watch my children. He took care of everything. And 14 years later, I got to stand in a prison today, or this year, and give a testimony of why I was there and why God had brought me there and what he had brought me through. What an awesome God we serve. And I just want to thank him. And as we were singing earlier, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalms 107, that's what it says. And he has redeemed me, and he has delivered me. And I just give him all the praise. He did for me what I could not do for myself. And he has called me to share that with everyone. And so on this trip this year, I just want to thank him for all the people that he set free. He has set me free, and he set many people free this year. We were in a prison, the prison that I was able to give a testimony to. And after I gave a testimony, one of the men used a banjo cube. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen a banjo cube. There should be a picture in here somewhere. But after they used a banjo cube, and all of the prisoners, many of them, accepted Christ. And so we had told them that if you accept Christ, we want to get your names, and we want to pray for you and your families. Well, during this, the guards told us, we're sorry, but we cannot allow you to go to each cell and get their names. So at the end, we had to tell the men, we're so sorry, but we've been told we're not going to be allowed to get your names. We're going to do a blanket prayer, and we're going to pray for you in a blanket prayer. All of a sudden, a flip-flop came flying down from the top floor with a string tied to it. And tied to the middle of the string were all these notes. Now, there's supposed to be a picture of a bunch of notes on the table. I sent it, but I don't know. I haven't seen it in here. Doesn't matter. Anyway, they were throwing every way they can, they were getting their names to us. They were throwing down papers, y'all, with prayers on them. Prayers for their families, prayer for the, and our interpreters, we went back to the hotel and we put them all this table and we laid hands on them and we prayed over all of these notes and all of these names. And however, I mean, they were ingenious of how to get these, their names to us. Who would think of tying a string to a flip-flop? And then, I mean, I was like, wow. And we were like in the middle of this place just praising the Lord and looking at each other and going, can y'all believe this? Like, it's amazing. So then we took the string and tied Bibles, put Bibles in a bag and tied it to them and threw the flip-flop back up. And they're trying to pull it back up like they're fishing. Anyway, y'all, it was really cool. I just want to say it was cool. One night we were in a brothel. And my real name is Deborah. And the other lady right there in the blue shirt, her name is Deborah. And the lady in the yellow shirt in between us, her name is Deborah. So we were all at a brothel, and we were on the second floor of this one, and none of the doors were open. If none of the doors are open, we cannot go in and speak with the ladies. So one of the guys on the team, he said, let's stop and pray right here. So we stopped, and we prayed. And he prayed, Lord, please let a door be open. Please let your will be done for the lady that you have been speaking to. So we open our eyes and we start to walk down this long hall and there's one door open. And I'm the first to get to the door. And as I get to the door, on the top of the door is a towel and it's embroidered or whatever you call it. Y'all, I'm not really a domesticated woman. So I'm really not. Whatever you do, where you stitch, whatever y'all call that, where you stitch the name. Okay, the name of the lady in that room was, guess what? Deborah. So I turned to my Deborah friends, and I said, y'all are never going to believe this. This lady is named Deborah. So we go in, and of course, the first thing I have to say to her is, we did not land here by accident. The Deborahs have come to speak to you from God. She accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and she said, I want to leave this place. She said, I have been crying all day long. This place has taken everything out of the inside of me. It gives me money, but it has taken my insides. And I have been crying all day. And I know God sent you. Praise God. He is good. God is good. I have multiple, many, many, many stories I could tell you. Many stories I want to tell you. But I know we have other people who want to speak to you today. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for loving me. Those of you who know me and were here, thank you so much. And I love you. I love this church. And thank you again.
So I was with the sports team. Our job was to go into schools, and we went to a couple of prisons. And what we would do is go in and play or teach the students or the prisoners basketball, a very compacted version of basketball, in a few minutes. And then we would play soccer with them sometimes, and then we would share the gospel. So we usually had about an hour to an hour and a half, so you can imagine, you know, how we're moving around during that period of time, trying to get to the gospel presentation at the end, making sure that we leave enough time for that, because we had so many people. In a couple of these pictures, you can see how many kids. These are obviously at schools, and like I said, we went to a couple of prisons. We went to a men's prison, to a women's prison. We could not take pictures inside the prison. We were not allowed to do that. Most of mine come outside of that in the square and in the school. We usually had two sessions a day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Like I said, we went to two prisons. That was probably the most impactful for me. We went to the men's prison. And when we walked in, they have pods, so we were allowed to go into one of the pods, and it's an outdoor prison. They sleep outdoors. They have a shelter. It's in a square. They have a shelter, and then their cells are inside of under that shelter, and then they have a yard area in the middle where they can go out and play soccer or do whatever they do. So the cells were built for eight people, and these guys were sleeping 24 to a cell. It's just kind of the way it is, and you know, they didn't complain. It was amazing to see how happy most of these guys were in the shape that they were living, the area that they lived in. They have adapted, and they have, most of them, at least have heard the gospel before. When we walked in, there was a group that was having a little meeting in the yard, and they were praising God, and they were singing songs, and they were praying, and it was great to see that when we walked in. And so I know that most of them have at least heard the gospel. We got to share with a lot of them. The ones who wanted to listen came over. We talked to them and were able to share our stories with them. And just to see some of the guys and to hear what they've been through and they're at now is amazing. We went to the ladies' prison, and we got to be with them for probably 2 hours. And we played basketball with them. We talked to them. We shared the gospel. And at the end, one of the ladies came up, and she said, you know, for the last hour and a half, I've forgotten that I'm in prison. So for them, it was amazing. For us, it was amazing to be able to go there, to talk to them, and to be able to gain access, for one, but to be able to share the gospel with them was amazing. Me and Mama one night went to the grocery store that is right around the corner from the hotel, and she had some pictures. One picture was with the two guys that are going to be in the story, but we were walking down to the grocery store, and these two little boys came up to us and wanted some money. They were obviously either street people or they were from one of the favelas. I'm not sure, but we didn't really understand what they were saying. We were trying to kind of, you know, Portia English, trying to interpret what they were saying and with sign language, and we just couldn't understand. There happened to be a young guy sitting right outside of the grocery store who worked there, and he was obviously on break. So we walked over and asked if he could interpret. We found out later that this guy is a Syrian refugee, and he had been in Brazil for probably 6 months to a year, I think. And so he was trying to interpret. He knew English a little bit, Portuguese a little bit, and Arabic. So he was trying to interpret for us, and we finally got enough to understand that they needed baby food and diapers. So, but the guy told us, he said, you need to be very careful about, I mean, he obviously thought we were, you know, dumb Americans that were there and were just trying to give money to somebody, and, you know, so he was trying to look out for us. He said, you need to be very careful about what you do and how you give money to people. And, so anyway, we go in the store, get the stuff, and they're telling us they need something else, and we just can't figure it out. So we go up to the register and say, hey, can you help us? Anybody speak English? No, but we know one guy who does. The same guy that was on break out before, he was supposed to be on break. He was actually helping us during his whole break. So they went out, got him, brought him back in, and he helped us again. But me and Mama at the end got to talk to him a little bit about his life and what was him, and he said, you know, I'm so mad. He said, I'm so hurt, I'm so mad because God ripped me away, or I've been ripped away from my family. I'm here. I don't know Portuguese very well. I don't have any friends. I don't know many people. He did have one guy that he stayed with. It was another Syrian refugee. And he came up. Me and Mama were trying to talk to this one guy about the gospel a little bit. The other guy came up, and he just happened to be a believer. We asked him, you know, we asked both of them, you know, what do you believe? And that guy said, and I've been trying to talk to him, but he won't listen to me. So we got to talk to him a little bit more. He did not accept Christ that day, but I know God was working in that situation, and I know he's still working in that situation. He is absolutely working today. He did not have us go there by accident. He did not have us meet those two little boys by accident. He did not have that guy on break sitting right beside us by accident. God had a plan in that, and I know that God is still working in that situation today. Another day, we went to, me and Mama, right before we left, we went to the City Plaza. She wanted some wooden spoons there. Another lady that we were with, an American, wanted, you know, something else before we went home, a charger, I think. So, it was one of the last days we were there. I think it was the last day we were there. Most of the Americans that were going on the extra trip had already gone. And so there was a van that could take us wherever we needed to go. The van driver only spoke Portuguese. We did not have an interpreter. And we only spoke English, so just to kind of set it up, we were a little at a disadvantage. So we start on our way. He kind of knows halfway where we're going or where we want to go, so he takes us there. Mama talked about the City Plaza before, so we went there because she wanted to get those spoons. And so we get out, and this place is a madhouse. This is a Monday, and, I mean, there are people everywhere. I don't know if they don't have jobs or what, but there, I mean, there were people everywhere. And so cops everywhere. And so we get out, and the guy can't park. So he's got to keep driving around. So he says, I'm just going to drive around, pick you up at a certain place. So we get out, we go get that. We're gone about 15 minutes. And the whole time I'm thinking, this guy's never going to find us and all these people. So we walk out to the side of the road or to the side of the street. And it's not just a square. I said it is a square, but there are roads going everywhere. So it's not just like he can go around in a circle. I mean, there are roads everywhere. So we get out on the side of the street. There are people lined up on the street, shoulder to shoulder. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's never going to find us. We're there for probably 15 minutes just standing there waiting on this guy to come around. He never comes, and I'm starting to freak out a little bit. I said, I don't think he's going to find us. We're like a needle in a haystack. And Mama said, well, let's just stop and pray. So we stopped. We prayed, and we look up, and coming down the road is the white van that we came in. And I said, when I saw it, I said, okay, that's a van, but that's not our white van. There's no way that would happen. You have little faith. And so I looked up, we saw the van, and sure enough, it happened to be him. So through that Porch of English, through all these thousands of people, God used that to show me how little my faith is and that I need to trust in him more than I do at this point. So that was our trip. Thank you.
Okay, so I too want to thank you all for your participation, generous gifts to help us to go onto the mission fields this summer. I had the privilege of going to China, which was a new experience for me. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what we did there. Next. Okay. I went with a group called the Edge Institute. The Lord had connected me way back about January, and in their ministry around here, training people to do English as a foreign language overseas, as well as here in the U.S. And the Lord just opened the door for me to go on one of their trips to China. The organization began as an outgrowth of Southern Baptist Missions through Hickory Grove Church, but now it's separate itself. Okay, should I be using the okay, hopefully this will be better and not fade out every other word. The group is now nominally secular. If you go to their website, you won't see anything about using teaching English as a way to reach out and share the gospel, because when the Chinese government goes, they don't see anything about using teaching English as a way to share the gospel. And so that allows the organization to continue to send groups into China. But our heart is to meet a felt need in order to open the doors and open the ears of the people. The particular group that I went with went to Zhangjiang in Sichuan province. And we had three purposes. One was to reach out to the participants in the Sichuan Teacher Enrichment Program, which was a two-week program to professional development for Chinese teachers who teach English in schools. And we were doing a one-week children's camp program, and then we wanted to continue some relationships that had been established by a team leader in the past. So the Sichuan Teacher Enrichment Program was our stop. We went to a place called School, which is the first private school in the communist era of China. And it was an interesting campus. Because it was a private school, they were actually able to bring in, it was founded by Christians, and they were actually able to bring in some of the gospel and some of scripture. So the sign that you see over on the right is the Chinese, in Chinese, the story of Noah. And all over the campus were scripture verses and Bible stories mixed with famous philosophers and other things, whose quotes were online. Next. So we were expecting a lot more students. We had 12 students, and we had 4 teachers. So we had an interesting time coordinating our efforts. We worked with them on different ways, improving their own English, and also different ways that we use English, and some fun ways, things we do. And, yeah, I think we're working on the microphone problems.
Okay, so this is a couple of pictures of our classes. The next. We worked on using different visuals and different aids. And on one of the days, you see, because we're there teaching English language and methods of teaching English language, we also get to teach American culture. And part of American culture is holidays. So we spent an entire day. God gave us a release of spirit to do this, an entire day on Christmas and things you can do to use Christmas as a way for the kids to practice English. So the picture you see on the right was our Christmas play that we had our students reading. And in the midst of talking about all of this and Christmas songs and jingle bells and all of that, of course, as Christians, questions came up about our beliefs, and we were able to share some testimonies of our own faith in Jesus Christ. The day after that, Nolan brought in, and I had a little bit. He had some bilingual materials, tracts, and his own personal Bible, and he brought them into class and offered them to the students to look at. And each one was taken. At the end of the program, I'm just going to skip ahead a little, the day before our closing ceremony, he asked if he could have the Bibles back. And nobody gave them back. Not even his own personal Bible that was only in English. And we just rejoiced in that, actually, because Isaiah 55 says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." The word of God went out to people whose hearts were receptive, to people who voluntarily accepted that, and we rejoice that they will have that word to look at. In addition to just the teaching, though, in order to be a testimony to people, we want to live life with them. And so we went out to dinner with them. We had game nights. Next slide. We went on field trips to the Panda Research Center that was there in that town. The students who were with us were from that province, which is very large, like saying, you know, they were from the southeast, but they had never been in this town before, and so they were happy to go with us on these field trips. The next. And to the Waterways Park. Dujiangyan has the oldest functional irrigation system in the world. So we enjoyed walking through that park and just having some casual time to get to know the students and to be able to build a foundation for ongoing relationships. I want you to particularly, if you think of it through the year, remember three ladies. The one on the left, we're going to call her Sue. I'm not going to give you their real names. The one in the middle, Ellie, and the lady who's standing and reading beside a man, she played Mary in our Christmas play, so we're going to call her Mary. These ladies in particular, I've been carrying on a social media relationship with. They've been asking me questions, mostly still related to teaching, but it's a privilege to have that relationship and to know that through that I may be able to reconnect with them and to share the Lord with them. Next slide. I also would like you to pray for these young people. One is the son of one of our team members. The other three were our helpers. And the boy on the right had been working with an American teacher doing. And while we were there, he professed in front of his mother, who is not a believer, that he was happy to be a believer in Jesus. So that was just such a blessing. And so please pray for him, because he does not live in a home that's going to encourage that, but he does have others around him who will help him to grow. Next. The youth camp, unfortunately, was canceled. So that left us at loose ends for about a week. The people who were organizing the youth camp helped us to get hooked up with a tour to some of the national parks in the local area. And I'd like you to pray, if you think of it, for our tour guide. We'll call him Evan, who we spent a lot of time with and also had a chance to share the gospel with. He did not accept Christ during the tour, but we're praying that others will come along and speak into his life. I just wanted to show you a couple of pictures of the beauty of God's creation that we were privileged to see. The view on the left is of the Himalayas. Yeah, I'm pointing back there because I can see it back there. The view on the left is of the Himalaya Mountains. The view on the right is Huanglong Scenic Spot, which is a series of glacial lakes. And we also got to spend a day in Jiujiaigou National Park, which is one of the main attractions for Chinese people when they are traveling around the country. This area, you can pray for the people of this area. They suffered a 7.0 earthquake just 11 days after we visited. And there was some loss of life, not as bad as the 2008 earthquake, but being for this area as they recover. And then our third purpose was to continue some relationships that had already been established. Nolan, our team leader, being the only one who had ever been to China before, was kind of the spearhead of these relationships. So the ladies that you see in these pictures, they have been, they have not professed Christ yet, but Nolan has been talking with them, and we were able to continue to encourage them and to be a testimony to them during our times together. So this was probably, to me, the most blessed part. You know, no matter where you are in the world, the family of God is the family of God. When we were in Duzhongyan, we went one day to visit the official church. It's called the Three Self Church. The government controls it. And in many areas, the church is dead. They don't believe in anything supernatural. They're just teaching, you know, be good. But this particular church has a pastor who really is a believer and who encourages his people. And even though the people all around us didn't speak a word of English, and I spoke maybe two words of Chinese, we were able to just love on each other in that church. The other two pictures that you see are one of the best testimonies that I can bring back, and it's not my testimony, it's theirs. The other two pictures are from a house church, not an official church. And you often think of house churches like huddling in the woods and meeting in secret places. This church had been meeting in an apartment, and neighbors had started reporting them. So just about a year ago, the government officials came again to see the church and what they were doing because the neighbors were reporting them again. And one of the officials said, you know, we know you need a place to worship your God. But if you keep meeting here, there are going to keep being problems. So why don't you go find a place in the commercial district where people aren't doing business on Sunday anyway? Like, wow. God gave them favor with the government official. They started looking around, and they found a building where the top floor was available. It was up for sale. Top floor. So, you know, you don't have as many people around to hear what you're doing as you worship on Sunday. Okay. But they didn't have the money for it. And they fasted and prayed, and God brought the money to them. And now they own the top floor of the building. They have established an education center called Benchmark Education that is their reason for owning a place in the commercial district. So they offer classes during the week, and on Sunday, they are free to worship. God has blessed them with a beautiful facility. He is growing their church. The people in this church are bold in their witness. We had always been told when you get on the WeChat, the Chinese social media, don't talk about God, you know, don't talk about Jesus. Keep it really low key. I'm friends with some of these ladies, and they're out there with their faith. They're very open and very bold, and I just praise God for them. They were such a blessing. And part of the reason I know all of this is that about five of them were very good English speakers. So that was a blessing, too, just to be able to fellowship with them and really share. Okay, so as you think of it in the coming year, please pray that God's word would bear fruit where it was planted for the protection and encouragement of Chinese believers. Not every place in China is as open as the city of Chengdu was with this particular group. And for opportunities to share the gospel through ongoing relationships that we have with the non-believers who are in our class. And again, I thank you for your prayers, for your support, for everything that you did to help us to reach out both in Brazil and in China this summer. We just are really grateful for our church and your support, and to the Lord for his enabling. So that ends our sharing time.